Hi everyone, Jeff here from Gojo Media. I do in-depth and fun food reviews on YouTube. To find me, just search for Gojo Media Jeff.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 348 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 12th of September 2015. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at midday Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Belinda, Steve, and me, Daryl. And your guest is Heinz Herman from Skipper.tv. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate? How's your week been?
It's been good. Yeah, busy, but a good week. And finally, spring has sprung here in downtown Mansfield.
Good stuff, mate.
Sun's out and the birds are singing. It's all good.
Nice one, mate. Good on you. Good on you. How's your... And catch any of the Apple event? Any announcements?
I sort of watched it after the event. I watched sort of clips of it after the event, and I've been trawling through the tech blogs, reading the opinions of the techosphere or the blogosphere.
Yeah. Yep. All right. All right, well, we'll come back to you in a minute and get your opinion on the Apple event. Let's go to Belinda. How's your week been, Belinda?
Yeah, it's been pretty busy. I started doing Uber last Saturday and just had a quiet week working. Like, just on Thursday, I had two rides and the trams were on strike. So
okay. There
was a lot of people needing rides, but obviously not in this suburb. But I had a few that were from Footscray. There was one from Footscray into the city. Yep. And the traffic was just crazy. There was like everybody had driven their car because they couldn't get into the city, either doing that or catching a taxi. And the taxis were also having a protest about Uber. So that was funny. And I also picked up two girls from the racetrack. They were at a Maya Fashions event. And I drove them into the city and then I went home. I was exhausted just doing that because I had two trips to the city. So... yeah, and just editing videos, and also I watched the Apple event this morning.
All right, good stuff, Linda. Mention your YouTube channel before I forget to ask you.
Yeah, I've been working on my YouTube channel. It's, if you look up BDemi10, that's my username. So at the moment it's called Belinda's Vlogs, but I will be changing it to BVlogs because it sounds a bit better, more catchy.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll be changing that today. So if you look that up, you should be able to find it.
All right, good stuff. So check that channel out.
It's going to be about me, just about my adventures in Melbourne and my daily life of living in Melbourne, Australia.
All right, good on you, Belinda. Well done on that name change. Let's go to Steve. How's your week been, Steve?
Oh, it's been actually quite good. and talking about YouTube channel, I've probably got almost 600 videos, and I've been always afraid to monetize them, so I finally went in there and monetized most of them. So I'm proud to announce I almost got an entire penny.
Wow. Good on you. You're rich. You're rich, mate.
No, I just figure, you know, because I don't have a lot of viewers, but I do get a lot of views.
I put up one of your videos that were down on my blog to promote one of your videos, that Mac Pro video. That's a great video, so I put that up for you.
Sure. But I do it mostly for fun anyway, so I figure, well, let me give it a shot. You never know. I might be able to get a six-pack or something. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Heinz. Heinz, how's your week been, mate? Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate being back the second time. Brad, Belinda, Jody, Jacob, Steve and Paul.
Yeah. Most of them are not here today, but I'll tell them that you said hello, and I'm sure they will remember you.
That's all right. It's the spirit that matters.
That's it, mate. That's it. How's your week been and what have you been up to?
Well, the whole company has been going through this big hump of launching our Skipper product.
Yep.
The first TV recorder in Australia, PVR, we call them here in Australia, DVR in the US, or set-top box, whichever way you want to refer to it. It's a great product. It's a first in Australia and probably a world's first as well, because the key difference with this PVR is that it automatically detects the ads.
Nice one.
And most of the approaches that are around worldwide use people in hard labor to annotate videos, bookmark them, and then download the bookmark file onto some PVRs that then can skip the ads. So the difference with us is that we have basically trained a machine to understand what a TV advertisement looks like and then skip it automatically. You can put the remote control away, slouch off on your couch, and just enjoy the show, relax. It's a hard-earned weekend.
Yep.
It's after hours. No fumbling with the remote control. So that's the key proposition of it.
Skipping the ads, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Let's go to Belinda. What's your view on this Skipper PVR? Have you? I know you had Foxtel, and have you seen this Skipper PVR at all, Belinda?
I've heard of it. I heard that it was coming, so it's very exciting because even Foxtel now have ads. So
yeah,
you've even got to skip. You'd even be able to use it to skip ads on Foxtel. I just had a question about what kind of reaction you've received from the TV networks who rely on that for their ads for their revenue. Have they given you any feedback or anything like that?
No, they haven't given us any feedback. But of course, we're expecting that the networks aren't going to be too pleased. My understanding is there's about $2 billion worth of advertising revenue. And I don't think Skipper is going to make a big dent in that. Advertising will continue on television. But it all depends on how the networks view it and what their response is. Let me just say that half of the effort in engineering this box has gone into the actual technical engineering side, and the other half has gone into legal advice to be totally in line with the Australian Copyright Act.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's probably useful to spend a little bit of time in our conversation today to look at some of the technicalities, but also the legalities of it. So whatever the networks are going to do, and going back to your question, we're prepared and we're squeaky clean, and we have got the best of the best in the legal profession behind us, and the box has been engineered right from the start to be totally compliant with the Australian Copyright Act, which means that because of how stringent the Australian Copyright Act is, we actually do have an international product, because what you find most other countries are not quite as restrictive as the Australian Copyright Act. That means it's almost like the Australian Copyright Act is the least common denominator of most of the countries in the world. And for that reason, we are pretty much legally compliant in all other countries around the globe.
Hmm. Interesting. Daryl, do you have a view on that?
Yeah. So,
Sorry, Belinda.
It's interesting because I know that there's been some products, I mean, Steve might know more, but in the US that have come out and tried to skip ads and do things, and the big networks over there have sort of tried to sue them out of existence. So that was going to be my question about the sort of whether you were fearful that the big networks would try and take action, but also because I know I have a PVR, but it doesn't skip ads. And does yours also, when you skip the ads, does it also mean then that you're only getting, if you're recording a program, you're only getting the program recorded? In other words, if a program runs over time because you've got X amount of ads on it, you don't get those. You don't get the. It's not recording the ads, so it's not taking any of that disk space.
Probably. I love this. If I was a poker player right now, you would have dealt me a royal flush. let me lay down the cards on that and answer the. You made a statement and you asked a question.
Yep.
First, to your statement, which is about the US and what's been happening there. There's a whole raft of cases that you've been referring to. The most recent prominent one is Dish Network's Hopper product. And the situation is different with us because we are completely free to air. So we don't rebroadcast anything. We don't have arrangements with the studios. We don't do IPTV, really, on our Skipper box. For that reason, we are not dependent on any networks as far as the content is concerned. So what happened with the Hopper is that they actually are on selling copyrighted material that they obviously have been sourcing from the studios. And for that reason, that lever was played to pretty much negotiate a different arrangement on their ad skipping, which put the consumers at a disadvantage. But that sort of muscle, none of the networks can play with us, because all we do, and this gets to your second question, is we record free-to-air television. And the reason why I said it's a royal flash is because you give me a great opportunity here to explain who we are and what the company's strategy is, and tie together four components, or four products, if you like, that address your question. The company, so forgive me, this is going to be, how long have I got to answer this question? I'll promise I will answer it.
Yeah, try and keep it short.
Okay.
Hines, if you can. That.
So the company had its origin. Colin O'Brien, our executive chairman,
yep,
bought a company that made a living out of taking ads out on VCRs, the very old days of recording. And when the company was acquired by Colin, he's a big visionary. He thought, what we have to do, the first thing we have to do is we have to have an independent electronic program guide for all of the free-to-air television, which means that we're going to source and compile the guide ourselves, without reliance really on a lot of the material that comes, that is published in other sources. So the company, therefore, has an independent electronic program guide. And what very few people understand outside of Australia is that the networks in Australia are notorious for publishing the wrong start and end times of shows. There's a reason for that. If you go to Wikipedia and you Wikipedia broadcasting strategies, there is a whole toolkit of different strategies that the networks typically use to glue consumers to the television at the wrong time by publishing the wrong times for reasons of advertising ratings. It does affect the revenue that these broadcasters derive. So that's where the strategies are employed. So with ICE TV and our EPG, we publish the correct start and end times. It's a guide that gets updated several times a day, is as accurate as possible, even if there are late changes. We try to incorporate them in our electronic program guide. And for that reason, you tend not to miss the start and the end of a show. So our slogan in the past used to be, never miss your favorite show. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. That's good. Yeah, no, it was just, I had a feeling that was sort of what you were going to say, because the, you know, it's like you record a program here and if it runs over time, you end up sometimes the recorder shuts off because it thinks the program time's finished. And so you miss the last 5-10 minutes of recording unless you tell it to record the next program just in case.
Yeah. What PVR do you have, Darryl?
Oh, I'm trying to think of the brand. I think it's a Sony or something like that.
Because I think there's an option in the menu. Maybe you can add extra time on the
program. Yeah, I probably can do that and fiddle with the menu. Yeah, that's right. You're right. But it's just, I was wondering if when you're recording a program, because it skips the ad, whether that time is then, if you like, deducted off.
Oh, okay.
So if it's an hour and a half movie with ads, it ends up that you've recorded an hour of the actual movie and not, you know, gaps.
Right,
That was.
Yeah, right. What's the tell us about the Skipper PVR, Hines, with the pricing information and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, the Skipper PVR is one that is now shipping. So we have the data sheets available on our internet website. So I'll basically just tell you a few highlights about it. It's a three-tuner video recorder. It can record up to six programs simultaneously while you're watching a seventh program, plus stream an eighth program throughout the house via Wi-Fi. It has a 1 terabyte hard disk drive, so it gives you about 520 hours of standard definition recording, or about half of that for high definition recording. We have the Opera TV store on it, which has quite a number of really nice applications. They are different categories: social networking, IPTV, calendars, clocks, and so forth. Wi-Fi is built in, so customers don't have to fiddle with any ugly dongles that hang off to the side, the front, or the back. And we are HBBTV compliant.
Sweet.
So you can actually watch all the catch-up TV.
Yes, you can.
On the box. And that's the interesting thing. So with Skipper, you get the best of all worlds. And we got to say, the whole proposition of Ice TV is that it's better than catch-up TV, because the problems with catch-up TV is that you don't get all the shows that you might want to watch on catch-up TV. It's basically a selection of the network that they offer for catch-up TV. And also, it's only there for a limited number of days. So you it's not there indefinitely. So the best thing really is to have, as I said earlier, a really reliable TV guide, which we talked about, that is independent of the networks, so you don't miss your favorite show, because it gives you accurate times. But also have a smart recording facility in your video recorder, something that enables you to set up a profile. You know, to say, for example, I like to watch a genre. So for my little boy, it's family movies. My little boy also likes Batman, so I put in Batman, and every show that has Batman in it will automatically record. I like Sandra Bullock, so Sandra Bullock is automatically recorded, and so forth. So you basically set up your profile for free-to-air television, and I can tell you, within a couple of weeks, it pulls down such rich content from the free-to-air programming onto your hard drive, that there is always something there that you try to watch. Mm. Now, for some reason, there's something there that you haven't picked up because you haven't defined it in your profile. Then on Skipper, you can still always go to the HBBTV component and use the catch-up TV. So you're really not ever going to miss
it. So you're really getting value for money then?
Oh, you're getting value for money, because this is not just an ordinary PVR. You know, when people talk about PVRs, they talk about a mean value proposition. They talk about the size of the hard drive.
Yep.
They talk about the numbers of tuners and streaming. Bang, that's it. You know, what we have is all of that, plus the HBBTV component, the TiVo type of functionality.
Yep.
That's all there. Plus, of course, with your recorded shows, you don't have to watch the ads, because it skips it. That's also something you don't get on catch-up TV. You're forced to watch all of the ads. And of course, because catch-up TV comes out of your internet allowance, you know, you actually sacrificing your internet allowance to have to watch TV ads. So you're paying with your internet subscription to watch TV ads. For us, therefore, the HBBTV component is just a fallback situation, so that you really don't miss your favorite show. But what we really encourage people to do is watch the recorded shows at Skip.
Definitely. So the Skip part is not free. Is that correct? You have to pay for that part as well, and also Ice TV.
Well, at the moment, no. We've got two product offerings on our website. We've got a complete bundle.
Yep.
For $599.
Yep.
Retail price.
Yep.
It has everything in it. Subscription free. So you get all of the functionality that I just mentioned completely free. That means the a reliable electronic program guide, the TiVo style of smart recording,
yep,
enables you to set up your profile, the auto skip, HBB TV, the Opera Store, no strings attached, no extra charges. But some people, you always get these price-sensitive customers. So we knocked $100 off, and for $499, if you don't want the autoskip component, then you can get it without the autoskip component and just trial it for a few months. And if you like it, you can always upgrade it by taking out a subscription for $49.
That's not bad. $49 a month, or how long is that for?
Per annum.
Okay. Good deal, mate. Good deal. Steve, what's your view on this?
Actually, it sounds quite exciting. And now, actually, there's kind of two questions that come to mind. One is where I understand that here in America, you know, we have broadcast television, we got cable and so on. And I could see maybe using advertisement for over the air, maybe. But, you know, I'm paying for cable and we still get commercials. And often, like early in the morning, even if you're awake and you're watching TV, a lot of these stations just show infomercials until, you know, like 5 in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's ridiculous. You're paying, you know, you want to see movies any time of the day, day or night, but yet you got to go through all these commercials. And another thing you mentioned something about, since it's legally compliant, even perhaps even worldwide, does that mean there's a possibility of using your DVR in other countries, or, you know, like America, for instance?
We are definitely looking to export our DVR into other countries. The US market is obviously a very attractive one. And we are the darling of the industry at the moment. All the big brands, or most of the big brands, are talking to us specifically about the AutoSkip technology. So we are certainly talking to them, but we have non-disclosure agreements with these organizations, obviously. So I can't share with you what the names are globally in several countries and regions of the world. We are exploring that. But at the moment, I can't give you a timescale as to when our DVR will be available in another country, or if our AutoSkip capability would be licensed to another brand, and then that set-top box would be featuring it. As I said, there is a phenomenal interest there, but I just can't give you any timescales.
Belinda, what's your view on this? And you had the IQ3 previously. Would this be something you'd be interested in down the track in getting, maybe?
Yeah, I already commented before, but yeah, it's a really good thing. I was also going to add one more question to my other question. I was just going to ask if you're going to have an app or something like that for an iPhone or Android phone so you can record the programs if you're not at home, similar to Foxtel?
Yes. In fact, I don't know of any other company that has such an app on all of the major platforms. Yes, we do. And we have it not only on the Apple platform on iOS, we also have it on Android devices of smartphones and tablets, but we also have it on the Windows Phone Store. So even if you have a Windows phone, you can use our app. Our app is free. It doesn't cost anything. And I really encourage everyone just to download it and play with it. What you can do with the app is a number of things. Remote recording, as you said. Was it Belinda just then?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So what you referred to, Belinda, I think was remote recording. Yes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's correct, from your iPhone or whatever phone that you have. Yeah. So that's brilliant that you've got that, yeah.
Well, we got more. So if you just give me a couple of seconds to elaborate on that as well.
Yeah,
we have
sure.
A recommendations service, which is threefold. The first one is our editorial picks. So daily, we update our editorial picks. So when you go to the app, there is always recommendations of what's hot on TV and what you might want to record. You can watch the trailers. It's almost like a pay TV app, you know, but it's for free TV, as I said, free to air television. You can watch the trailers and record directly from the app. The second recommendation service we have is what's most popular. So we have a bar chart that shows you for all the shows that are being recorded and what the most popular ones are. So it's in ranked order. So if you want to use other people as an orientation point for what you might like, then you just click on that icon and it shows you that. And the third thing we have is what's new. So it's basically new shows, either brand new shows that are where you might be watching the first season, or a series, like you call them seasons pass in the United States, where something has been off the air because there was a season break and the new season starts. So bang, you have that on. But shows that are much further away than just the 7 days, which is typically the electronic program guide horizon, say, for example, the Tour de France or a World Cup or the Olympics or something that could well be 8 or 9 months away, if, or a grand final somewhere, you can actually program that way ahead. So these are the things, the three recommendation things that we have on our app, in addition to the remote recording, Belinda, that you referred to.
It's a great app. It's called Ice TV, so make sure you get it today. It's really good. I've been using it on my Humax PVR for a while, for a long time, actually, since I've known Heinz. And it's Ice TV. It's really, really great TV guide. I recommend it to anyone if they're after a good TV guide. Okay, so the Skipper PVR, it looks great. So are they selling quick, are they, Heinz?
Yes, they are.
All right. Okay, when do you recommend, when should I get one then? Straight away?
You can get one anytime.
All right.
The issue that we've had is that, sorry, just allow me to have a glass of water.
You're all right, mate. Go ahead. You're all right, buddy. You're up.
The issue that we've had is that obviously the Australian market is relatively small when you compare it to the global markets. So if you look at countries like especially the emerging countries like Brazil, India, or Russia, when a customer goes to a factory and says, I want to order 2 million, or even if it's just 500,000 DVR units, then that obviously rates very high on the factory's agenda. The problem that we've had with our Skipper product is that it's for a small country like Australia. And of course, the orders of magnitude of the order that we placed was substantially lower than other countries. So unfortunately, we got caught out with the manufacturer of our Skipper. So 2 months ago, we released a product for pre-sale. And although we made it clear that it's an advanced sale, there has been a certain level of disappointment about our customers that it's taken 2 months from the launch of the product for advanced sale to the actual delivery of the product, where we're starting to ship in mass volume as of Monday in a couple of
right.
days.
Okay.
So the mistake that I made as the CEO, and that's something that I just have to wail, is that I felt from understanding the industry that it's commonly accepted that when you launch a product for advanced sale, that there is no clarity on the lead time, and we were knocking off a substantial discount. So we launched a product at $399, which is $200 off the recommended retail price. And as we got closer to the release date of our product, we started to increase the price. So getting back to the question, we had an overwhelming interest. It's almost like when we announced that the product was going to launch at noon, I think it was the 25th of July or something. I'll look it up in my diary in a second. It was 2 months ago. It's like people were standing by their computers waiting for the offer to come up.
Wow.
And we had hundreds of orders like within the first hour. Just the counter went up, bang, 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 bang. So we realized fairly quickly that the order that we placed with the factory just wasn't big enough, and we upped the order, which then, of course, meant additional supplies had to be ordered and so forth. And just at the time when we were going to have our manufacturing slot locked in, a very big order came from another country, and I'm talking 1.5 million here, and we had a slip of a month, and unfortunately, then another month slip when another order for 500,000 units came in from another country into the factory. So we're disappointed with the factory, and that's why I'm not mentioning the name.
No.
It's not really the right approach to blame a third party. So that's why I'm saying I will have to wear it as the CEO.
Mm.
But the product is now shipping in volume. We believe that we will be able to fulfill every pre-order within this month. As we actually went through the expense of air freighting and the additional cost of air freighting every single unit into Australia so that we accelerate the delivery to customers. We've been working to test the box. It's been tested. In fact, it's been reviewed. Fairfax Media, Adam Turner, one of Australia's most foremost reviewers, has published a review on the Skipper. And it came out with a fantastic review, including our Autoskip. Yeah. So I can only say to all of our customers who are listening right now, you will get a product that will live up to your expectations. It has been thoroughly tested. It's got great reviews. We've got two other major publications in Australia review the product, and that review will come out in October. You will not be disappointed.
Good
but
stuff, mate.
I am sorry that there has been an extended delay, and I'm not going to play the blame game here.
So Hines, what's coming up in the future for the Skipper PVR and the app? Any new features coming soon? Can you mention it at all or not?
Yes, obviously, we are going to, at some point in time, launch a higher specification version of our Skipper PVR. So we are looking to launch a Fortuner version.
Okay.
The Fortuner version will be able to, of course, record more shows simultaneously because it's got an extra tuner.
Right.
It will also have out-of-the-home streaming so that customers who are out in the street will be able to watch their recorded shows ad-free, and they don't have to be on Wi-Fi. So these are and the third thing we're going to have is most likely our own user interface. So DVR or set-top box user interfaces usually aren't the most flash one. Clearly, the yardstick to live up to there is TiVo. We really respect TiVo. And so we've gone to two non-engineers, people who make a living out of designing user interfaces. And we had our own user interface developed with total user friendliness in mind. And that's the user interface we're looking to have implemented on the, call it Skipper 2. We haven't really decided on a name.
All right, mate. Sounds good, Hines. Where can they get hold of you if they want to have any more questions for you, mate? On Twitter and stuff, and they can send you an email?
Sorry, who's talking to whom at the moment?
It's Brad.
So it was a question addressed to me?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I'm just asking, where can they get hold of you on that if they want to have any more questions to you?
About the new next generation?
Yeah.
Well, we've got on the Ice TV website, we've got a section for sales inquiries, and you can just email to that one. So it's icetv.com.au.
All right, good stuff, mate.
And you can just go to the inquiry section and you can send us an email.
All right, good stuff, mate. Hang around for a minute, Hines, and I want to talk more about the Skipper PVR just for a couple more minutes after the Apple stuff. Linda, do you watch the Apple event this morning?
Yes, this morning I watched it. So
right.
It was very exciting. My favorite thing was the iPad Pro. It's just out of this world. It's got like four speaker audio. It's only 1.57 pounds apparently, and you can get a keyboard accessory, and it's like got a smart connector. That's how you connect it. And the most fascinating thing I found was this is something that I've always wanted them to bring out. is the Apple Pencil. So you can use, it's like the shape of a pencil, and you can just write on the iPad Pro and do drawings and everything like that. And the way it works is sensors in the tip calculate your strokes. So it knows whether you, if you're pressing hard, it has like a big thick mark. And if you go really softly, it'll be thinner. So that's interesting. And cool. The most controversial thing was Microsoft Office going on the Apple platform. That is interesting. I was like, what are they doing with Microsoft? When I saw it, I was like, so that's for the iPad Pro. And I was just thinking, I don't know what Steve Jobs, if I was just thinking he'd be rolling in his grave right now.
Yeah.
Because he, yeah, I don't think he'd like to work with Microsoft. But, yeah, it is just Office, so that's all right. Because that's the thing I thought was missing, but it would be good if the MacBook Pro had that as well, because that's the only thing that's missing. Like if you want to do a resume, most people use Word documents, so that would be, that would come in handy with that. But I thought it was very controversial considering the history between Apple and Microsoft. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and it's got some good applications as well. They got some new Adobe apps to do drawings and stuff like that. And also they got a thing to educate patients about their body. It's called Our Complete Anatomy. So doctors can use it to explain like what, how they're diagnosing patients and that sort of thing. So, yeah, the iPad Pro sounds like something I'd buy for sure. Right.
Good stuff, Linda. What about the Apple TV? Yeah.
And the Apple TV, the best thing about that, the new one, is the Siri voice activation. So you can just say, hey, Siri, can you find this movie or TV show? And Siri will find the show for you without you having to go and search for it. So she looks up iTunes, Netflix and Hulu, as well as a few other things. What have I got here? Yeah, Hulu, HBO and Showtime. That's the references she uses to look up the things. And also you can tell Siri, like, if there was an actor that was in a certain movie or TV program. So you could just say movies with Tom Cruise in it and she'll bring up all the movies with Tom Cruise. Yeah. So, okay.
Good so stuff, Belinda. I will searching. Be... Yeah, definitely. I'll be getting one in October. I'm definitely getting one of them. That's going to be cool. Heinz, on your Skipper PVR, mate, now what IPTV apps do you have on there, like Netflix? Do you have Netflix on there at all?
No, at the moment we don't have any other IPTV apps than the ones that are on the Oprah TV store. There are a number of IPTV apps. There's Fashion TV, there's Red Bull TV. There are a number of pay TV services on it. But the pay TV services that you have on it are mainly ethnic in on Oprah TV in Australia.
Right. Okay.
Now, I don't want to create rumors, but we have heard rumors that the name that you just mentioned is experimenting with an app on Oprah or with Oprah-based services.
Right.
So there is nothing that I could find confirmed, but... clearly, the Oprah TV store is the next big thing for set-top boxes. And I have no doubt that over the near future, you will see an increased number of streaming apps available on it that
good
are
stuff.
Non-ethnic and cater for the broader taste.
Good one. Now, I hope this is okay to bring up, but I'm going to ask anyway. Have you looked at the iQ3 at all? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I feel for Foxtel. And I feel for Pace, manufacturer. It just goes to show that it's not easy to introduce new technology or brand new technology to a consumer base. And I say this because, you know, we've had the same issues with our Skipper product. So we have great respect for Foxtel and for Pace. But, of course, the unfortunate situation for them is that they are not just 2 months late. We're talking a year and or more. And when the technology was launched, they were under the pressure probably from consumers to have to do something about the lead times. And they were stuck between a rock and a hard place to have to launch the product,
yeah,
but not having it in consumer grade quality. It's a very difficult decision to make. Do you give in to the demand and the slippage, or do you really want to get a product to market that works well? So for whatever reason, they've launched a product, and there has been a great level of dissatisfaction in among consumers. And unfortunately for Foxtel, there's a massive defections. A lot of them to the Netflixes, the Stans, the Prestos, the other services that are available that aren't based on the iQ3 box. And that is our opportunity.
Yeah. So,
because for anyone who's in the market because of any dissatisfaction with the iQ3, and I don't like puns usually, but if you want a box with real IQ, then get a Skipper.
Yeah, definitely. I've had problems with the iQ3, but I've sort of put up with it, and you know, these things happen. We've all new products, as you said, Hein. You know, these things happen. We've all new products, you know, and you know, people need to understand these things happen. You know?
Yeah.
Daryl, what's your view on the Apple event, and do you have any opinion on what we just spoke about?
The Apple event, yeah, it was interesting, saying what Belinda was saying about the iPad, the big iPad Pro, and sort of Microsoft coming in with Office. It's sort of, I'm old enough to remember, the famous video of when Steve Jobs was doing a presentation way back when actually Apple were in diabolical financial position, and he flicked the switch and on came Bill Gates on a big screen and to the boos of the Apple faithful. And that those days, Microsoft sort of pumped in several hundred million dollars into Apple to keep it going. But I think Microsoft's a much different company now, and I think Apple's a much different company now, and I think Apple's quite happy to have Office floating around on the iPad, because for Apple, one of their biggest competitors is the actual Surface 3. And so if you've got Office, if you're looking for a product for business, you're going to want a product that has Office on it, because most businesses use Office whether you like it or not. And so if Apple can, you know, have Office on it, it makes it a more compelling device to get out there, not just for consumers, for those wanting to watch content or stream stuff, but for that actually to have it on people's desks. And I think that's why they sort of did the deal. And Microsoft's changed under Satya Nadella, that he's, you know, the new CEO, and they're a more products orientated company now, and they don't care, you know, they'll put their products on every platform. I mean, you can get them on, you know, you can get Office, you can get Word on iOS on your iPhone now, and various other platforms. And so I think they're quite happy to get it out there. And but yeah, it was interesting to sort of hear the murmurings when Microsoft's name popped up on the screen. But the other one I was interested in was in the iPhone, was the Force Touch technology, where, you know, you lightly touch the phone and you can do certain functionality, and then if you press the phone harder, you can get additional menus or additional functionality. So I think I'm going to be interested to see how that is used in the future once iOS 9 rolls out. I think that Force Touch is going to be interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. I think the iPhone, also the iPhone 6S with the rose gold as well, Daryl. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, colours, it's a very subjective thing. We all have our favourite colours, but
yeah.
I think, yeah, I don't think it hurts to have, you know, a few more colours out there. I mean, it just gives a bit more, get more choice for people whether they like the rose gold. I know, was it Mashable or one of the others said it was pink?
Yeah.
They said, not rose gold, it's
that's
pink.
What someone else said in a photo.
One of the tech bloggers was going on. But anyway, it's a subjective thing. We can all argue over which is our favourite colour. But but I think, yeah, I think it's nice to have a bit of a colour change.
Yeah, definitely. Will you be upgrading to the 6S at all, Daryl, or are you going to get
not. I sort of do it in even though I own my phone outright, I probably do it in like a 2-year cycle.
Yeah.
So I'll probably look when the 7 comes out. And I'll also look to see if at that stage my iPhone 6 is starting to get, you know, sluggish, Like that's why when I went from the iPhone 5 to the 6, because the iPhone 5, you know, was it was starting to get very sluggish and lagging badly and all the rest of it. And so I looked at getting the 6, and so far, even like 12 months ago now, the 6 is still running along really well. So I really can't substantiate that. Although I do like the Force Touch. I'm really interested in the Force Touch, but I think I'll wait till the 7.
All right, fair enough, mate. What about the Apple TV, Darryl?
Yeah, I'm interested, actually. I'm actually interested, maybe, because I've never had an Apple TV, so I can't really compare the new one with the old one and say, well, how much better it is. But, yeah, I currently use an Xbox to get some apps like Netflix and that onto my TV. So an Apple TV I'd definitely be interested in. Probably my parents would be interested in an Apple TV because their television doesn't have a direct internet connection.
Right.
So an Apple TV plugged into it on Wi-Fi would give them access to some apps.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be fantastic. I'll be getting one for sure, and I can't wait for October to come around.
It'll be interesting to see once it comes out. But the interesting thing will be with all these boxes, and that is content is king.
Yeah.
And so who gets the content, who gets the shows? Like, for example, Netflix, you know, can Netflix compete against Stan and Presto and also the Foxtel? Because, I mean, Foxtel, you know, will aggressively buy content to try and keep it out of the hands of Netflix, as well as the commercial TV network. So it's really going to be a war, I think, over the next year or two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it all comes down with money and how much they can buy this content for, you know, this sort of thing.
Well, that's right. You know, is Netflix going to, for example, in an Australian market where, you know, it's relatively small compared to the US, is Netflix going to put its hand in its pocket and compete? And you can imagine with, say, a Foxtel with Rupert Murdoch behind it, you know, Murdoch can quite easily say, well, we can take a bit of a loss here for a while and we'll just buy up content, even if it's just to keep it out of Netflix's hands. Mm. So I can imagine there's going to be a content war because, you know, the prices are one thing, but you want to get a product where you want to see stuff, and it's no point having the cheapest product if you go to switch it on and there's not enough movies to keep you happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can't find anything on Netflix to watch at all, Darryl. I've had it for a while and I cannot find anything. I always keep going back to Foxtel.
And, yeah, I tend to be more of a movie person, I guess, but you're right. I mean, I think Netflix certainly has to not just sit back and say, well, we're in Australia now, that's great. They certainly have to start rolling out more content.
Oh, definitely.
Otherwise, I'll look to, you know, Presto or Stan or something like that. Yeah. So what are you going to offer me?
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think Netflix has got, I mean, they've done it before in the US. They had battles with other companies in the US and people were writing them off and saying they were going to be dead. They certainly won the battles in the US, but it's going to be interesting here because of Foxtel's having, you know, Murdoch and everything behind it. And of course the commercial networks aren't just going to sit on their hands and say, and so there's even rumors that some programs that normally, you know, the networks wouldn't bother about keeping and repeating, they may try and do that to stop Netflix from buying them. So it's going to be really interesting.
Interesting. Hines, what's your view on the Apple event? Did you catch any at all, mate?
As I said to you guys when we're talking offline, we've been caught up so much in this hump of getting the skipper to market and on time and dealing with the factory slippages.
Yeah.
We haven't really had much time to keep the finger on the pulse there.
Oh, good, mate. Oh, good. Understandable. Steve, what about you, mate? What's your view on the Apple event?
Oh, I'll try to keep it short, but there's quite a bit.
There you go, mate.
On the Apple TV, it looks really good. Not only with Siri integration, but even more importantly, they're going to have an app store where you can download multiple, you know, applications, even... There's the CEO from Valve Software and Steam Gaming Company, as Gabe Newell even theorized that Apple TV could be the next big gaming platform, because we already got plenty of games already on iOS, you know, iPad and so forth. Now we're going to have to, I think, come out with perhaps better controllers. I mean, it does come with a new remote. I don't know if that's going to be enough for some more of the serious games. We'll see. But the price point looks good as well, starting off at $149. I was a little surprised at that. I figured it'd be at least $200. iPhone 6S looks good as well. It can record 4K video for people who want that. 12 megapixel photos now as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about the live photo part of when you take a photo, the photo goes live for a minute? What do you think of that?
I don't know. That's kind of unique, I guess. You know, I was trying to kind of guess at what they were trying to do. At first, I thought maybe it was video, if it was GIFs or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess it would be kind of interesting if they're trying to add more, you know, interesting features to iOS. I mean, some people may like it, some may not, you know. I don't know. It's okay. We'll have to see how it's well it gets adopted by consumers. And it may be a hit for all I know.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Steve, any else, mate?
I think that the iPad Pro. A little quickly on that. I'll try to make it quick. Larger, pretty much what we expected. It's just really a larger iPad. And I think this maybe power users, enterprise, business, I think may opt for it a little bit more. Interestingly, now, I think a lot of people have been expecting to put the full desktop operating system, something similar to the Surface Pro. And I just never would see that happen with Apple until they get some interface things right on the tablet and battery issues and things like that. But it's going to be a good upgrade for those people.
Yeah, definitely. Will you be getting the new Apple TV or the new iPad Pro, Steve, at all? Or?
I mean, I'm good with the tablet now. I am interested in the new Apple TV, so more than likely I probably will be getting it for Netflix and other things. Mm. And especially to be able to download other applications is really important to me as well. And the Siri integration, if it works well enough, that's something I would probably use too.
Yeah, definitely. Same. I agree. I would use all that Siri and that sort of stuff. And the apps, I'm not sure what sort of apps they would have on launch when the Apple TV comes out. Steve, do you reckon what sort of apps would they have on there?
I don't know if it's going to be limited like, you know, what we see on iOS. Obviously, some are more geared to the iPhone and things like that.
Yep.
Some may be just carried over.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I don't know. I got to see how they're going to implement it.
Spotify would be good.
Maybe it has to be specifically made for the Apple TV or something like that.
Spotify would be great on the Apple TV. I've been waiting for that for a long time.
Yeah.
I heard they've got Apple Music on it.
So. Yeah, Apple Music. Yep. Apple Music would be great on there. But I've been using Spotify more now. I'm not sure why, but just convenience. Just how I have it there and open.
Yeah, I can't see them putting Spotify on there because it would be competing directly with Apple Music.
Yeah, true. Good point. Yeah, that's understandable.
I think that would be a smart move.
Well, they get like so much money from each, you know, per month to go to Apple TV if they, you know, well, they have to do the in subscription through the App Store though.
For Spotify.
I think so. I of course it could have changed by now. I'm not sure.
All you do is you sign up on the website and then you get like a 60-day trial. And then if you like, you can keep using it. And then, it's pretty easy to do.
Well, yeah, you can bypass it totally. And then you wouldn't have to pay or, Apple wouldn't get the, you know, what is that 30% or whatever it is for per month. Then yeah, you can do it that way as well.
What else, Steve? Any else, Matt?
I think that's about it, actually.
Right. Glenn, do you want to mention anything else before what you see?
Wanted to add with the Apple Watch, the red one, the rose gold one.
Yep.
They said that all the funds that they get from that will be donated to AIDS research.
Okay, yep. Good
so
stuff.
That would be a good one to get if you want to donate to that sort of thing. And also they said Facebook Messenger is coming to the Apple Watch as well. So
looking forward to that.
At last.
Yes, Facebook Messenger on the Apple Watch, that's going to be damn good. I'm quite happy that Skype is not messing up today when it's quite working quite well.
Yes, very
good. Good stuff. Let's go to Heinz. Where can they get hold of you, mate, if they want to ask you any more questions? And what's your final view of the
final view? Yep. Okay.
Final view.
So the it is actually quite a life enhancing experience, Skipper. So closing remarks, I suppose.
Yeah.
We have at our household. At home, we've got a TiVo box, we've got a Foxtel IQ, a Humax DVR, and a Skipper. And the reaction that I get from my family to the skipper is just so noticeable. It's just it's great. What is happening is the kids, for the first time, they say, "Dad, this is really cool. This is what you do for work. That's phenomenal."
Yeah.
I feel really good about myself because the kids love it. You know, we've got the skippers in our bedroom, and so we've got all this profile recording set up and everything. And would you believe it? My wife is sitting there watching on the skipper a recorded show, and when it skips the ads, she gives me a high five. And it's been a long time that I got a high five in the bedroom from my wife. And the skipper did it. Yeah. I absolutely love it. It's a great product. It's life-altering. And effectively, you get 15 minutes of ad breaks per hour back into your life. The Australian consumer watches around 3 hours of television. So that's around about 45 minutes of ads that Australian consumers are exposed to. Skipper gives you these 45 minutes back into your life. You try to put a value on that. And I think for $5.99, with all of the functionality that's in there, this thing is really three PVRs in one.
It's definitely
very good value.
Definitely.
And I got to say, you'll hear this from many vendors. What is hurting the entire industry is the weakening of the Australian dollar against the US dollar. It was parity, one-on-one, about 9 months ago. And what we have now is that you only get 71 US cents for an Australian dollar. And that's about a third of an erosion. So across the entire consumer electronics category, consumers have to be prepared to see a price increase once all of the retailers have depleted their stocks and they have to start buying new stock.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that what we've done with Ice TV, we are $5.99, and we've done a pre-sale, and we've been extraordinarily generous to our consumers. Although I do understand when consumers do get their backup because they would have loved the product earlier, but it is just one of many challenges that any Australian vendors has to deal with, the weakening of the Australian dollars and the low manufacturing volumes in Australia. So once again, everyone who bought a skipper, congratulations.
Yeah, good on you guys.
You will not regret it. And thanks, Tech Webcast, to have me here. One thing I would propose is that I would like to give you guys a skipper to play with.
Really? Okay,
challenge
sure.
Challenge you. And then come back onto Tech Webcast and have a discussion and a debate about the product. I don't mind you doing a shootout against other kit or whatever it is, but this box rocks.
So Heinz, how do we organize that? So you're actually going to send us a skipper PVR?
Well, it's, Brad, you and I, you got my number.
I do.
We tend to chat quite a bit. So let's do this offline.
All right.
And, but my promise to you is that you'll get one. And it's up to Tech Webcast what you want to do with it.
I was just
planting the seed of an idea.
Sure.
But
sounds good.
We are not going to hide with this box. We want it to be out there with all its merits and the things that it yet needs to improve. And I can tell you that we're an Australian vendor who have always demonstrated to our 10-year customer base that we are turning around problems very quickly. And we do 7 days tech support.
Yeah.
We always have an open ear, and it usually doesn't take long for Ice TV to come up with an improvement or with a fix to a problem that shows every now and then.
Good
we
stuff,
man. We're not going
to
hide.
Good stuff. All right, I'll have a chat to you after the show about this, and I would love to get my hands on one and try it out and let you know what I think. I'm sure Belinda as well would like to try it out as well, and also Daryl.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be, I don't have the IQ3 anymore, but it'd be interesting to compare from when I had it. So,
definitely. All right.
Well, any of you in Australia can use it, right? Remember that it's an Australian-only product at this stage.
Yep.
And Tech Webcast is a global event, so as long as you bear that in mind.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's an Australian product, and if you're in Australia, you can get one. And can they buy it in store at all, Heinz? Is it in any stores at all?
We are at the moment talking to the good guys. I can say that because we do not have a non-disclosure agreement in place with them. We're midway through the negotiation with them. At this stage, the product may be available through the good guys. We certainly have a plan to make it available as widely as possible to Australian retailers, but at this stage, we don't know how many retailers it's going to be available through. At the moment, go to skipper.tv.
Yep.
And you can buy it online. And we are starting the ship tomorrow. We have a backlog to catch up with. Once that backlog has been caught up with, everyone else, every new order will be honored. But we are honoring customers who place their pre-orders on a first ordered, first served basis. Yep. That's the fair way to do it.
It is indeed, mate. That's very fair. And appreciate your time, Heinz, for coming on, mate. Love to have you back on.
Can't wait.
Can't wait to have you back on. Thanks for being on, mate. Appreciate your time. And did you enjoy being on, Heinz?
I do.
You do?
It's great. That's why I want to come back. I'm just building a bridge for my next gig.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And now, are you in the? Where are you at the moment? Are you at home or in the office? Because I can see you on video.
No. Oh, yeah. I'm actually here in the office.
Oh, nice one. Okay.
I went to the office because, I'll tell you what, we've got a dog at home, and I'm not sure whether a German brass band lives inside that dog, so I just didn't want any disruption.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool, mate. Cool. Thanks for being on. Appreciate your time, Heinz. I'll have a chat to you after the show. Darryl, what's your final view of the show?
Yeah, great. It was really interesting to talk about Apple, and it was also interesting to talk about an Australian product. I mean, it's nice when, you know, it's a new product and it's an Australian product.
Yep.
And so we're not, and no disrespect to anyone else from anywhere else in the world, but we're not, you know, in Australia, we're not waiting for, is it going to get to Australia? When will it get to Australia? Will we have to pay hundreds of dollars or more for it because we're living in Australia? It's nice to talk about a product that's being developed from Australia.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And Paul is saying he's listening to the show. Hello, Paul. Kerry, and he's getting the iPad Pro. So good on you, Paul. Belinda, what about you, mate?
Yeah, it was a fantastic show. I can't wait for the new Apple items to come out.
Mm-hmm.
The iPad Pro sounds the most exciting to me. If I got anything, that would be the first thing because, yeah, I'm pretty happy with my iPhone 6 at the moment, so
right,
I don't
right.
need to replace that.
Right.
And if you want to get hold of me, I'm on Twitter at bdemi. And also I have a YouTube channel. It's bdemi10 and it's Belinda's Vlogs.
Good stuff, Belinda. You can get me on Twitter at Brad. I was on the Tech Webcast. I'll be getting the new Apple TV and the Skipper PVR very soon to review. And Steve, what about you, mate?
Yeah, talking about what you said about Australian tech, actually they have several great companies as well. Rode Microphones is an Australian. I believe also Blackmagic Design. I still have to confirm that to be sure, but a lot of interesting tech stuff is coming out of Australia now. Great show, and you find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Good stuff, Steve. Good to have you on. Jodie wasn't on today, so hopefully she'll be pre-ordering the iPhone 6S today, because so good on her. She'll be getting one today. And Skype never messed up today, Steve, which is good.
Yay.
Good on Skype.
Excited.
What's that?
Excited.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait. Thanks, Darryl, for being on. Let's promote your podcast, mate, for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, Jacob and I do and at Tech Luster.
Yep.
So it starts on at 10 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time. So I guess we'll be chatting about Apple, you know, we'll be chewing the fat about the Apple event. So, look forward to that.
Is that early for you?
No, it's not too bad, really. I mean, I'm probably a night owl, but certainly it gets me going on a Sunday morning. Gets
10 a.m.
Gets the grey matter going.
Because the last episode went for like 2 hours.
Yeah, well, it'll probably won't go for that long this time. That was really just a sort of an opener, and I guess so.
Yeah.
I think this one will be a more shorter and sharper.
Good stuff, mate. Can't wait to hear it. And I think Paul may be joining, and myself.
Cool.
And maybe
the merrier.
Maybe Belinda, maybe. She'd know that.
Yeah,
she does now.
I'd be happy to come on tomorrow morning.
Surprise.
It should be fun to talk about the Tech Luster episode. Yeah, next week.
Yeah, I can use my notes still.
Yeah, definitely. Sounds good.
I didn't say everything that I wrote down. So.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, thank you for being on, everyone. Thanks, Ian, for being on, mate. Appreciate your time. I think he's left. Has he gone? Yep. Thanks, Steve, and thanks to Daryl. Thank you, guys.
No worries.
Thank you. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!